Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womax and Friends. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. We're excited to delve into the vibrant world of Unoya Theater. And here with you today is the ensemble based in Harrisonburg, Virginia. They are comprised of like-minded professional theater artists from a wide range of disciplines. Founded on principles of collaboration, integrity, and creative purpose, Unoya Theater aims to redefine storytelling through dynamic performances in both traditional and unconventional spaces. With a mission to engage audiences of all ages and backgrounds, this ensemble, led by a team of seasoned directors and administrators, seeks to challenge artistic norms while fostering a supportive environment for theater artists. Now, let's meet some of the creative minds behind Unoya Theater and explore their vision for enriching the community through the power of it. On the show this afternoon is Reese McClelland, director and theater educator, Garrett Lee Milton, playwright and theater scholar, Amanda Softley, art administrator, director, creative placemaker, Michaela Baker Paxton, actor, and Michael Trochia, actor, philosophy professor, and poet. Welcome to the show, everyone. It's great to have you all on today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Michael.
I'm Michaela.
I'm Reese.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Garrett.
That's great. These are lovely people joining us today. And I think one of the most fascinating things that I've learned about this theater company so far is the amount of people that are already involved. You have 6 creative directors and 14 ensemble members with a wide variety of disciplines, as we talked about in the introduction. So this is just a sampling of your group here today. And I thought it would be great if we just kind of kicked off with our laughers finding out a little bit more about each of you and your background in the arts. So let's start with Garrett. If you could share with some of that with us, that'd be great.
Yeah, sure. My name is Garrett. I'm a playwright, theater scholar, and educator and dramaturg, originally from Washington, D.C. My primary discipline is playwriting and dramaturgy and theater scholarship. Been quite active a number of years ago in the DC theater scene. I've been fortunate enough to have my plays sort of read and produced nationally throughout the United States in different markets, as well as abroad, working with the Arcader Theater in Amsterdam, which was quite profound for my growth, I would say, as a theater artist, and just giving me a different perspective on how to build theater, which was fantastic. I met some really wonderful lifelong collaborators and friends from that experience. But now I'm in Harrisonburg and I'm finishing my dissertation out of Texas Tech University, where I am putting together research on metatheatrical dramaturgies of violence. That's kind of my background. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Michael Trochia, right? And so I teach philosophy over at James Madison University. And one of the things that I've always been interested in, how the arts come together, whether you're doing theater, whether you're doing poetry, whether you're writing fiction, whether you're playing music, like what are the areas in which, you know, these different arts come together? And I've always kind of been caught in doing, you know, a lot of these different arts. So I started doing community theater here in Harrisonburg about 20 years ago. Before that, I studied a little bit of acting and directing at Queens College back home in New York, where I'm from. But I've been involved in shows here as a director. In 2009, we adapted Stephen Crane's The Blue Hotel, and that brought in a number of different artists, visual artists and musicians and actors for a production down at Court Square Theater, and that was done through the Valley Playhouse at the time. Last fall, I directed Eurydice, Sarah Rule's Eurydice. We did that at Asbury which was the culmination of an event, of a series of events around the theme of grief. And that show, that production also brought in a number of different theater artists from around the area, some community members, some students. And I've acted as well, in which acting is kind of my true passion when it comes to theater. I love directing, but acting for me is where it's at. And I guess the most recent role that I acted in was Streetcar Named Desire. So I got to play Stanley. That was down here in at Court Square Theater as well in 2017. So
I'm Michaela. I was born in Harrisonburg and grew up in Augusta, West Virginia, if anyone knows where that might even be. I came to EMU and studied theater and English and ended up staying in DC for roughly a year and was in the theater scene with the Folger. And then I moved to Stanton to start a program there. I ended up dropping out, but I was a historical interpreter for about 6 years at the Frontier Culture Museum. And then I moved to the Harrisonburg area about 3 years ago when I was pregnant and got started working here at the library. I say here at the library because we're at the Massanutten Regional Library. So I'm a storyteller here, and I absolutely love it. I have a passion for kids, and I have a passion for theater as a whole, but especially engaging the littles and also engaging in communities that are rural. Since I am from West Virginia, I would love to be able to reach out to some of the lower income areas, and then also being able to lift up those voices from West Virginia and also from the Blue Ridge Mountains.
I'm Reese. You might be able to immediately tell I'm not from around here. I did not grow up in West Virginia.
You did not.
No. My background was in Europe, so I grew up in the United Kingdom. It's where I sort of cut my teeth in theater and had my training. Excuse me. And then in 2011, I met my wife, who's also an ensemble member with Unoya, Sarah Levine McClelland. She was training in her master's as an actor over in the UK. We met, flew backwards and forwards across the Atlantic for about 18 months, and then ended up in New York together in 2013 when we got married. And then since then, sort of spent about 10 years in New York working for a variety of companies. Most recently, I was running the education programming and some of the community programming and teacher training programming for the Public Theater in New York City, which is a large not-for-profit organization with a ton of stuff going on. Saw that sort of through the pandemic, came on vacation down to Harrisonburg, saw how beautiful it was. And we decided just to sell up, turn around, and come back. So when I first arrived here, sort of imagined that, you know, the pace of life would slow down, but then started to meet some really great people and now diving into building a brand new company. So,
You just can't help yourself, can you, Reese?
No, there's no way out.
Hi, I'm Amanda Softly. I am from around here. I grew up in Singers Glen. I studied theater and history at EMU. Left the Valley for a while, bounced around as a stage manager, studied at Cornerstone Theater Institute, decided I couldn't live anywhere else other than Harrisonburg. So I came back, and I'm glad that we're here making great art. Most recently, I've been an arts administrator. I ran Sipe Center in Bridgewater for 3 years, and before that, pre-pandemic, I ran Inside Out Playback Theater.
Yes, and laughers, if you've been following our podcast for some time, you will remember that Amanda was one of our earlier guests when she was working at the Sipe Center, and we're so excited that you're back on another podcast with us today.
Me too. Thank you.
You are welcome. Thank you all for sharing that, by the way. I think this is super exciting, and I would love if you could share with the laughers what inspired the creation of Unoia Theater. And what does this name signify? It's so unusual.
That's a great question. You know, this, so Unoia, way, way, way back in the day when I was in England, I used to collect pan vowels.
So I'm sorry, what?
Pan vowels. They're the words where they, a word that has every vowel, A, E, I, O, U, in the word. And some of them where the vowels, all of the five, you know, all the vowels occur just once. And Unoia is actually the shortest pan vowel in English. So it's got all of the vowels in it, but only once and then just an N. So it's E-U-N-O-I-A. That's the word, Unoia. It's actually, it's from a Greek word, which has a couple of different meanings, one being sort of a clarity of thought. Mm-hmm. So when it's used in a kind of mental health context, it means clarity of thinking and clarity of thought. Then Aristotle actually adopted it in his sort of rhetoric about meaning a clarity of feeling or a goodwill between a speaker and a listener. So in rhetoric, it kind of it inspires this idea of a sense of goodwill between speakers and listeners, which feels kind of appropriate for the work that we want to do in terms of how we're going to build audiences and communities. So that's the name.
Okay.
And if any of the laughers ever see the logo, it's a bit of a journey. You have to kind of go through the logo a couple of times to find the word, but it is there, I promise. I think the reason that we came together, there was a lot of, it's just such a rich kind of creative atmosphere in this area, and a lot of very talented people doing very kind of creative things.
I agree.
And I think in some ways, it's almost inevitable for something like Unoia to happen when those creatives start to discover each other. And I think for all of us, you know, we've got, people in the ensemble with, 25, 30 years worth of experience under their belt. We also have, someone who's just about to graduate high school, who is another incredible, artist. And naturally, people just sort of found each other and came together, and it felt like the right time to solidify something and, work together and support each other and look for interesting ways of making theater.
Who put the name forth? I guess you did, Unoia, and thought
it's been bouncing around in my brain for a long time. But I mean, that bit's just a name, but it just happened to kind of coincidentally suit the kind of work that we wanted to do.
Okay. Yeah. So you just came to the group and said, hey, what do you all think about this? And they said, sounds great. There wasn't a lot of deliberation or anything like that about it. No. Group consensus right away. Okay. Well, I would like to know, this is a new theater company. How will it differentiate itself from other theater companies in the region?
Yeah, I think one of the things that Tu Reese points out is how there, we have 21 ensemble members, and so the collaborative kinds of projects that we'll be working on, I think simultaneously. So whether it's a few of the ensemble members working on, a performance. And then there's another group of the ensemble that's working on maybe a project of playwriting and workshopping things. And so I think there's going to be like various levels of interests and ways in which people can get involved that aren't structured around like a season that has to do certain things each season at certain times. The idea is for us to be kind of nimble, kind of flexible, kind of answer to not only the interests and challenges and opportunities that we're in, you know, interested in getting into, but like what the community also is interested in seeing and responding to those needs. So I don't know, you know, my experience in community theater, it's been a very good one, but it does have that structure, or it did have that structure, where there's a season and there are these shows and, you know, there are the auditions for the shows, and you're kind of, you know, having to work in that lane for the most part, whereas we're offering not only a variety of talent and backgrounds and ages, but opportunities, I think, that I haven't seen in this area.
I think this theater was also built around this need that so many of the artists in the area were having to feel constrained to the idea of, I have to wait for an audition. And so much of the control is left in the hands of a board, of a director, and not in the whole room. And that's what the Unoya Theater is allowing, is everyone in the entire room to have a voice, to have an opinion, and to have a project. So it's not just one person standing on the top of the hill saying, this is my hill. We're saying this is everybody's space.
And I'll add too, I think one of the things that we'll be wanting to do is partnering with other kinds of artist groups as well, in ways that just continue to build those community relationships, that I think with an ensemble this size, and with like different levels of interest, we'll be able to maybe find like just new ways of doing theater that this town hasn't really seen before. So
yeah, I just want to say that one of the exciting things, just to kind of piggyback off of what Michaela and Michael were just saying, is I think we also picked our heads up at one point and went, well, I think what's exciting is it and works to, I think, our advantage as artists and as a company, there aren't many theaters here to differentiate ourselves from, and that there is plenty of room for an additional theater company, as I will say, as multidisciplined and as robust as this ensemble has already kind of gathered to become. So I think in that way, it's exciting for us, but it's exciting, I would hope, for the community, that there is another option. There is another, you know, maybe evening to consider now of entertainment in this town, that isn't beholden to maybe the old guard or the guard that is present, you know.
I really like a lot of what you said, because this is how I ended up in comedy. So I wanted to be a Hollywood actress when I was young, and that didn't work out for a lot of reasons, largely personal trauma. And so anyway, I'm coming back to the world of arts later in life, and I began back in community theater here is how I got started. And then I started thinking, I really love film, so I'll be a background actor on Veep and House of Cards, and I did that. And then I want to talk on film, so then I started doing local and regional commercials and JMU student films, and I'm like, wow, now I want to get paid for talking on film. So you know, making that ascent. And so I found an agent, I still have, and you know, started auditioning on bigger projects like Dope Sick. 13 times, didn't land one, but the fact that they keep inviting you back and over again says they see something. They're just trying to find the right spot. And in all of that journey, I discovered I loved comedy, right? So I say all that to say I ended up finding my own way, because you would have to wait, to what you were speaking to earlier, on the next production and the next announcement of auditions and that type of thing. And I thought, I am not starting a young cat. People, right. I can't be waiting for all these productions. And that is a big impetus to what I'm doing now in terms of creating opportunities for comedy around here that didn't exist otherwise. And that sounds like that's a bit along the lines of what you guys are doing in terms of including more people in the impetus or the beginning of a project. And it sounds like it's also going to provide some more opportunities for, let's say, actors that want to try some directing or directors that want to try some acting and that kind of thing. Am I picking up on that?
Yes.
Okay. I am picking up on that. That's totally incredible. Well, this is, you guys are a lovely crew and give so much more meaning to the variety, which is the spice of life. As we're passing some water to hand down what's going to happen now, which is enjoying some absurdly flavorful popcorn from our sponsor, Preposterous. See, Flappers, they knew this was about to go down, and Reese had to get us water. Isn't this popcorn amazing? Tell me about it, Garrett.
You got me mid-chew. I'm currently crunching on the caramel flavor. And I have no notes. This is excellent popcorn. So shout out to Preposterous.
Yes!
Absurdly flavorful popcorn.
No, I mean, it is absurd how good. I mean, insane. A Crazy Eddie insane. I don't know if you all know the Crazy Eddie reference, but it is preposterous. Yeah. Do you have anything to say about this popcorn?
I don't want it to leave my teeth.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. It is incredible. Their kernels are grown right here in the valley. Their factory is 100% nut free. And they just got the Virginia's finest trademark as having a top quality Virginia specialty crafted food, which is a hard thing to get. Plus, Laughers, they offer a 15% discount to you. Just use promo code LAUGH15 when you visit preposterous.com. That's preposterous.com and grab you some delicious popcorn today. That was amazing. You all are just lovely, like I said. Garrett, I want to start with you again and ask you, can you give us some examples of the types of productions and events that the audiences around here can expect from this company?
Yeah, of course. I think one thing about this company too, just to kind of carry, call back to the question just before this, is that we all wanted to work as quickly as possible. Also, it's not something where I don't think any of us were enamored with this idea of, well, let's just give ourselves a pat on the back and get in a room and talk about things. Instead, we wanted to know, what can we do as soon as possible? Being a new company, of course, there is a great deal of planning. You want to make sure that you have some foresight and you are thinking months down the road, maybe a year down the road with some of our projects. But and we'll talk a little bit in just a moment about how projects within Unoya internally come to be in sort of a democratized way. But the first project that officially sort of received, you know, the Unoya stamp that kind of marked, I guess, our coming out party as a company was a play that I have been working on, this new draft that sort of it needed a place to go. It was kind of in this place, well, I have this thing. I think we have people who would find this script interesting, and I was at the process of revising it, giving it one more go, and I was like, you know, it would be really helpful is let's do an evening. Let's do a staged reading of this piece in its current shape, so I can gain a bit more information about what maybe these final series of revisions. And I think I've obtained that, because I think also what undermines maybe, or not undermines, but sort of an undercurrent of the various projects that we're doing, I think Reese mentioned this importance of growing and developing our skills further. It's not a place to plateau. It's not a place to sort of, you know, congratulate ourselves. It's really about how can we use each other to sharpen our skill set and to share our skill set. So I knew that by putting this project out there and utilizing and getting a feel. It was a nice mixer, an orientation of sorts, because it was a larger cast. So we could have a bunch of people that were officially a part of the ensemble, but also honor this kind of dotted line philosophy where we're not keeping any gates here, where if people want to come play, where, you know, there is a process of come and play with us too. So there was a bit of a mixed cast in that way, where some people were official ensemble members and other people have now since joined from that experience. And I think that's kind of the organic. I think I've used that word a lot when we all sort of started coming together and having our first meetings. There is this authentic, organic nature to, I guess, how Unoy came to be, but also how Galway, the play's title was The Giant of Galway, and it was put up at the Golden Pony May 8th, just last week. And we, you know, Michael sort of reached out to Paul Sommers, who is the owner of the Golden Pony, and to see if they'd be interested. And I know Michael has worked with Paul over the years and been, you know, Paul has been immediately open and keen on supporting arts and culture in this city to an extreme extent. I don't think this city is the same city without the Golden Pony and what it's doing. But it seemed just like, once again, this organic coming together. Let's you know, we have this play. It was a need in the room of the playwright, you know, going, oh, this would help the play further develop. It would also give us a chance just to get to know each other through doing, through putting something up. And I think that is sometimes, you know, the best way to get to know who you're working with is to build something, even if it's quick. And that thing was quick. I mean, it kind of came about originally from a reading in Stanton. Yeah. And I'm trying to think of the
Soul Arts Center.
The Soul Arts Center down in Stanton. And we just, once again, this word momentum, we wanted to capitalize on this momentum, and we wanted to, okay, we shared it with Stanton, you know, and the communities there, and we wanted to share it with Harrisonburg. And so we only had a couple rehearsals, but I think the end result was a true testament for those who caught that stage reading May 8th was, I think, could leave that the energy was palpable. It was very clear that it was a great crowd, full house. We had about, I guess, 50 or 60 people who kind of came together in the basement of the Pony. And during intermission and then afterwards, the energy, the conversations, I didn't hear, it was nonstop about especially the performers, you know, and what they were doing with this world and how they delivered this world. So that's just a little, you know, yeah, I'm going to pass it on, but that's just the very first thing that just seemed like it was there. Let's go play. We just want to play with something. It's ready to be played with, and we can kind of figure out each other through that process. And I think we did in a very quick way.
I just wanted to say something too about the performers and the way in which I think that inaugural kind of event or performance brought together people from like different backgrounds. So you had like Christian Parrott, who was in it, who's done community theater back in the 90s and early 2000s, but hadn't really done anything. He kind of got back into it last fall. You have a person, Philip Bly, who has been away from his theater roots and acting roots and directing roots and playwriting roots for also 20 years and kind of came back into this. You have then also some students who are kind of just interested in doing theater outside of their institutions and getting involved in other projects that their institutions might, you know, not have those opportunities. And so we had three students in the program as well. And then and Reese and Garrett and myself, which we had only kind of come together on this stuff just you know, fairly recently. And so it was a very, as you say, natural and organic, but it also, I think, spots like the kind of spectrum of folks who are kind of coming together in this organic way as well. So,
yeah, this is, it's more exciting the more I learn about it.
Well, you wait till you get to the end.
There's more, and collaboration too is what you're starting to talk about here in terms of your process. It is a core value of the company. And I would like to ask, how does it more you kind of indicating it a little bit, but how does it manifest and process in real time?
Is this me?
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm going to name drop a little bit, if I may. I once, I was in a keynote speech that was being delivered by Sir Peter Hall. This is going back a long, long way, probably 20, 25 years ago. And he was giving a keynote speech to a group of students at the National Student Drama Festival in England. I was training at the time. And he said, only companies work. And what he meant by that was, only companies really are going to give us the opportunities as artists to be able to explore the things that we want to do. This goes mm-hmm. back to what Michaela and Michael were saying earlier on about, you know, acting can, we see a lot of actors that, you know, they get very excited when they're in a production mm-hmm. and we're a family and we all love each other very much and it's a wonderful thing. And now I'm alone again mm-hmm. and I might be for in the next 12 months.
Or longer.
Yeah. So Peter Hall's idea that sort of really resonated with me, and I still have the notebook where I jotted it down in the margin, like only companies work in that companies can work. We can get together and create our own environment by listening to each other, collaborating, really trying to uplift the mix of skills that we have in the room, learn from each other. And operate like a company, because then again, none of us is waiting for the next phone call, the next audition, having to kind of put that budget together to go and live in Chicago for 8 weeks to go and do something or go up to New York or whatever. This is our community. This is where we live. And if we can build structures in which the members of the ensemble can work by sort of leveraging all of our skills and experience in order to make that happen, then that's kind of how we see collaboration.
Mm. So on a practical level, is there a regular meeting where you kind of hash these types of things out? And then what does that perhaps look like in terms of figuring out those 8 week jaunts to Chicago or New York and that type of thing?
Well, I don't think individual members of the ensemble can go to New York if they like. I don't think we're going. I'm not. I spent 10 years there. I sucked
out,
all
people.
The marrow out of New York that I care to. No, I mean, we as an ensemble that are based here, you know, like in my entire life, because, you know, obviously because of my career in theatre, I've always had to kind of be where the work was. Right? Mm-hmm. London, Birmingham, New York, Los Angeles. You know, these are all places that I've spent time in because that's where the supposedly the kernel of the work was. Mm-hmm. And my wife as well, as a performer, had the same experience. Neither of us, until we came down to Harrisonburg, had ever considered the possibility of choosing a community in which we wanted to live and then building opportunities within mm-hmm. it. Like, it just hadn't
Same
been
here.
Something that had ever occurred to us. Mm-hmm. And when we came down here on vacation and we saw the community and we got to know it a little bit, we only spent about 3 hours in Harrisonburg, but about 2 weeks in the National Park and up and down the valley, sort of went, you know, maybe that is something that we can do, is choose a community and then build something. Mm. And, you know, and I feel like that's a similar thing that Garrett has brought back to town. It's a similar mm-hmm. thing that Michael has had as an energy, mm-hmm. you know, Michaela and Amanda and so many other members of the ensemble. You know, we could all pack our bags and disappear off and go and live in DC and Los Angeles and Chicago. It would be an upheaval, but we want to mm-hmm. be in this community. Mm-hmm. We want to build stuff in this community that we're proud of, that mm-hmm. the community can be proud of. And that I think I'm not even answering the question that you originally asked on. I think I'm just going off on a completely different manifesto. But to say, to me, that is what collaboration is. All of us in this space with this community, feeling the rhythm of it, feeling, you know, the vibe of each other's skills, and then throwing all that into the middle of a room and seeing what comes out. And we have started to do that. Like, we do meet regularly. We throw challenges at each other. We've been reading some short plays, which Garrett will talk about a bit more in a little while. Shall I mention the ideation structure? Is this a good moment to talk about that in terms of a collaborative effort?
Yeah.
So I think Michael already mentioned, Michaela mentioned as well, that the idea of Unoya Theatre is that the access to the process of creating ideas and sharing ideas is open to the entire ensemble. And like I mentioned earlier on, you know, we have people who have been in this game for too long, you know, and we've got people who are literally graduating high school. We've got students, we've got parents, we've got full-time workers and part-time workers. We've got people that all come together, but everybody gets the opportunity through the structures that we've built to throw any idea into the pot for consideration by the whole ensemble. And the way that we do that is we have like a three-stage system whereby it's almost like a pro forma where we can fill out an idea, throw down some of the problems that we anticipate, what could it be, why would we do it, who would we do it for, who would be the audience, what kind of resources would we need, what kind of skills would we need in the room. And then that's open to the ensemble to discuss and then move it on to another phase of, okay, this is something that we like the idea of. Now let's really drill down into what are the problems? Mm-hmm. Like, how can we break the idea? Like, is there a way of pushing this idea to a point where it won't work? And if it survives that stage, then actually it can move on into, you know, a system whereby we go, we're going to take this seriously and this is something that we're actually going to go ahead and do. So, you know, it's a two-sided structure that allows for some experience and past knowledge to be able to gently kind of curate things into existence, but then doesn't close it off from the enthusiasm and creativity of every single ensemble member.
Mm.
Have I described that well?
Oh, I think Garrett.
And I just wanted to add about the question on collaboration that I think it was for me in my journey to finding everyone that I'm sitting at this table with, it was a deep admiration and like respect for their individual sort of artistry and their skills. But I think the collaborative nature of admiring the doing, like, I think everybody in this room right now, I know everybody in this room is a doer. And it's one thing to sit around, and I think I said this earlier, to say, oh, we would like to do these things. I have an idea. Everybody has ideas. You know, they're great. Don't get me wrong, but you have to bring them into life. You have to put them somewhere. You have to give them life. And that's something when I was getting to know everybody here at this table and within this company, I was witnessing Michael as a fantastic ambassador of what it means to think interdisciplinarily, what it means to, you know, stage and kind of put up literary readings, which I think he'll talk about in just a little bit of what Unoya will also dabble in, and trying to champion other art forms and to give them their proper spotlight, and how integral he's been to connecting institutions and organizations within the community. And also Michaela, one of my first kind of theatrical happenings back in town, along with working with Michael on Eurydice, was Michaela's Rocktown Readers and bringing people out to put up these stage readings and kind of giving a voice to playwrights who are alive, you know, today and are writing and working, but also just seeing how connected and how much she cared about the community and who else were the doers around Michaela. And so you kind of just, for me, collaboration is about finding other doers. Who is getting involved? And I think that for me is an important part of why I wanted to stick around and why I want to be here, is that we're doers. We're going to do stuff, you know, and we're going to think about it. I think we're going to think about it, of course, but we're going to do it. And I think that's what excites me the most about our collaborative nature.
Yeah. Yeah. That's delightful. Now you got to find places to have these performances, and a bit like we are at Funny Womax and Friends, your pop-up. It seems like. So I would like to know more about how does that process work in selecting them, and what impact does the choice of the space have on your productions?
So it kind of ties in with the question before that we, Michael and I, answered about how we're different and unconventional, is that we are hoping to be in places that are very unexpected. That, you know, the Golden Pony is a restaurant. So we put up a play reading there. I mean, we're talking about possibly being on the streets of Harrisonburg one day. We're talking about, you know, popping up in maybe a backyard, who knows? And just continually finding places and also collaborations that will work with us and play with us. And we're excited to literally be open to anybody who wants to come forward and say, please come and join us and partner with us and collaborate.
Yeah, I think the energy and atmosphere that a certain space already has kind of with it is important to kind of take into account. It's like almost scouting locations for film, I think, in a way where you're looking for maybe a certain vibe and what that place can offer you. And then choosing works or creating works that are in conversation or that's kind of leveraging that space. You know, so what do you want? A casual atmosphere? Do you want a kind of free flowing, you know, atmosphere? Do you want the artist and the audience kind of mingling and mixing together? Well, like the Pony creates that kind of feel, right? Mm-hmm. Do you want something a little bit more formal, a little bit more of a feeling of like we've kind of transformed into a new space and like we're, you know, maybe, you know, you're looking for a different spot for that. Also, of course, in terms of cast size, right? So we can do things, you know, with a show of a one-person show or a two-person show in small spaces and find these just ways to use what's there and bring the city to life in a way that it becomes part of the performance and not just a spot in which we're kind of imposing a performance onto. But it also gets back to the collaborations as well, because there are other artists, performance artists, like for instance, the Harrisonburg Dance Cooperative, who have a space and who we would love to, you know, we're already kind of starting conversations where, you know, what can we do with them? And you know, how might, you know, we be able to join forces in various projects and in their space or out, or bring them outside of their space and into new spaces? So, like, I think part of the space conversation is also a part of, like, who are we collaborating with? Who are we kind of partnering with to do these projects with?
Okay, so this next question I think is very interesting, because there is not a set space for these performances. So how does a rehearsal process look like, or what does that look like? How do you figure that out?
Sure. I would love to hear from everybody sort of and their thoughts on what this looks like. I think we've certainly chatted about it internally, but I think the same kind of aspirations we have is where we will deliver, you know, quote unquote, a final product to be experienced and shared. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same nature of been a collaborative effort at people opening their houses or their apartments or the library, you know, public spaces too, that we can access and have access to, and are fortunate enough to have access to these spaces. But with the Giant of Galway, all of that development, or that the couple rehearsals we had, late nights as well into the early hours of the morning, you know, that we relied on, you know, Michael here and his wife Allison opening their home and saying, we'll host, we will host. And we loaded up music stands and, you know, blocked it out in their living room. So this is what it means to do things and make it work, rather than sort of look for the perfect opportunity or a venue to say, oh, we need to have this, you know, this particular space. It's, well, how can we unfold this? And I think, Reese, you mentioned we'll be sort of ninjas of theatrical entertainment, where we can pop up in someone's basement or someone's living room to do rehearsal, or even maybe a full-blown performance eventually. Yeah. Who knows? Or a backyard, like Michaela was saying. But I think that's a little bit to getting at the question of, we'll rehearse anywhere that we can sort of, you know, rely on one another to open a space for us to do so. And I think so far, I don't know if we've had any worry about it. Maybe we're just really lucky. We've been, you know, but yeah. It hasn't been a big concern. Maybe Michael and Allison will have, you know, other opinions about hosting people and, you know, till 12 midnight or something.
Yeah, right.
But Reese, yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think, you know, talking about how spaces work, I think the flip side of that is also like the reality of how the ensemble works with like the human beings taking part, right? Mm-hmm. Because the beautiful thing about an ensemble like this of 21 people is we can be very realistic with each other about when we can and when we can't and how we can and how we can't, mm-hmm. right? Like I said before, you know, like Garrett, you know, is writing his PhD. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I struggle writing a shopping list. Like I can't even, do you know what I mean? Like,
I do.
You know, we've got parents. Like, I mean, both Amanda and Michaela who are just sitting around this table are parents. Mm-hmm. Garrett is a parent. You know, like the reality is that, again, going back to talking about living in this community, you know, we have to make sure that the work that we are creating and the ways that we're creating it remain accessible to people, even in the reality of their lives, mm. right? Like we always, you know, it's family first. It's always got to be family first, mm. right? But art is still essential and important. And I think, you know, just because you might be a parent or working a full-time job or something and you're in this community doesn't mean that you shouldn't have the opportunity to work at a high level with other passionate, excited, and interested people. And
I agree.
You know, that, and that's kind of what's exciting to me. So mm-hmm. finding spaces and then working with the ensemble to make sure that how it's working is appropriate and when they can give more and when they can give less. And, you know, that you only companies work. Like Peter Hall said, you know, it doesn't work like that when you go and audition for a play. It's like, can you make the tech rehearsal? If you can't, then we don't want to talk to you again. And then they may not see you next time.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't work like that.
Mm. That brings to question, how do you all communicate? Since there's so many of you, is there a group text?
Well, we don't want to advertise any software products, do we, online? But there is a software product that we use quite a lot.
Okay. Wow, we just left that out there.
Exactly. UnoyaTheatre.com. Send us some money and we'll tell everyone what software product we're using.
Now we're going to get comments on the video version on YouTube. They're
We do have a very, it's a very open network of communication, you know, and it's very active as well. I mean, there is discussion happening there on multiple, you know, topics constantly throughout the day, every day since the first time we met. Like,
okay. That's really great. And you're going to have community engagement is going to be a pillar of what you all are doing and a significant aspect of the mission. How do you plan to involve the community more in the work that you're doing?
I think one of the most beautiful things about theater, right, is it comes from, and it's embedded in the name Unoya, the sense of goodwill between an audience, mm-hmm. you know, and a speaker. That seeking that goodwill, whether it's a solo performer in a corner somewhere, you know, with audiences that aren't even expecting to see some work, mm-hmm. or whether it's children that are gathering together with their parents to see, you know, short pieces and adapted classics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's listening to the community as well, but it's also then challenging some expectations. And, you know, we look at it like very often, you know, organizations like ours or theater companies or theaters institutions, they look at there's the theater and there's the community,
mm-hmm.
right? But we are the community. Like we live in this town, you know, we shop in this town. We frequent the small businesses and the independent businesses in this town. We go to shows, we go to comedy.
Yes, you know? Thank you for appreciate
you know
that.
We enjoy, like, you know, the local breweries and we enjoy the wineries and the restaurants, and
becoming quite, you know, the culinary district here.
Exactly, so, right. And so, you know, I think the way I think about it in terms of Unoya interacting with the community, you know, we are the community. We are in the community. We are part of this community. And, you know, so many services and so many exciting kind of cultural opportunities are offered to this community by different organizations. We're really just going to be offering a bit of a smorgasbord of more, you know? Mm-hmm. But we are part of the community.
I'm curious, before we get to Michael, from Amanda, as a creative placemaker and your background in art administration and just all the talents that I'm aware of that you have, how do you see the community engagement working?
I think something that makes Unoia different is that we will listen to the community and hear what they want. So instead of saying, here's our season of 5 shows, we have a musical, we have Our Town, we have whatever, we're going to listen to people and hear what they actually want to see and then say, okay, maybe we won't do exactly that, but we hear you. You want a classic adaptation for your kids to come see at the library on Saturday morning? We can do that. You want to see more poetry at Book Savers? We'll be there. We can help with that. Like, you love The Giant of Galway? Great. Here's another play. Come back and see us here. So instead of just us saying, like, here's a smattering of something, like, we'll listen to what people liked and what they want and then respond to that.
Mm. And Michael, you wanted to add.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. And I think, yeah, showing up in these different spaces too, my hope is that we begin to really hear that feedback and receive that kind of input from the community. You know, the Book Savers reading, it wasn't a Unoia event. It was kind of happening like right kind of at the same time that Unoia was really starting to form. But we did a poetry reading at Book Savers, which is located in the Gift and Thrift over, I guess it's 42. Well, it's off of 42. What is that road? Mount Pleasant? Whatever. Mount Clinton. Thank you. Right. Mount Clinton. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. In case I'm like plugging Book Savers, go. It's like, you know, used bookstore. You're going to find some great stuff there. But they had never done a literary reading or a poetry reading there. And so it was April Poetry Month, and it was something that I put together for them. And Garrett Red and a number of other folks in the community, poets, writers, read. And I think it's something, too, that Unoia can not only offer, I guess, what might be considered, I guess, plays or theater in the sense of what we might think of as traditional plays, but performances that of literary readings or poetry readings. So how we kind of also pull in different artists, whether they be writers, poets, dancers, to then create other ways or other access points into the arts, and how we as a company can kind of support that, foster that, facilitate that. And maybe too, what you're doing is you're opening a door to other theater experiences, right? For folks that might not typically go, because there is an interesting, even within the arts world, there are these silos. And so you might go to all the music shows, but you never go to a theater show, right? Or you might go to see an art exhibit, you know, visual paintings, but you're never really kind of inclined to go to a poetry reading, right? So if there's ways in which you can kind of bring some of these things together, I think you start to really see and open up the possibilities of what community engagement looks like around the arts. And so those kinds of events, I think, are something that I would like Unoia to continue to do as well.
I like that you're exposing people to the arts to stimulate involvement in the arts. It's really key to growing a community of arts in where we live right now. So I want to thank you all for taking this leap to start this company. It's pretty exciting. I want to know, along those lines, how do you see this theater company growing and evolving in the coming years?
The thing with the future is that we have so many projects and potential ideas that we're talking about at the moment. And because of that sort of democratization of the idea process, mm-hmm. it's almost like already we have more than could be done in the next 12 months. Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. So we're sort of in a position of processing out, like, where are the bits that are going to be very nimble to be able to grow? And then what are the big works that are really going to kind of hit and surprise? And I'm not going to tell you what it is, Dawn, and I'm sorry, and I'm not going to tell the laughers what it is either.
Shoot.
But there is, watch this space, because this project it will be, you won't be able to miss it. When it happens, okay. if you're within a few miles radius of the city of Harrisonburg, you are going to know that it's going on. So there is a project that is in the works that will really connect to, and it will be a fall/winter project. I won't say which because that might tell you something. Mm. But it will be a fall/winter project that the city of Harrisonburg itself, the bricks and mortar, will play a significant role in the storytelling.
Wow.
I think that's all I'll say about it, but that's a process that has begun.
Oh, Garrett wants to say something.
I can just touch on one of the, I don't know, I mean this in a good way, but the quick and dirty. Like, okay. I think it's helpful sometimes to certainly maybe, be extremely intentional and craftful with what the finished product will be that you share with any members of the community or audiences that we have that will come out and support us. But I think it's also okay to put something up very quickly, but also intentionally, and to show the messiness of the process. Like, I'm a big fan of process. And I think the more that we can expose or just invite, rather, people in, community members and people who are maybe unfamiliar with how does a piece of theater or a theatrical happening happen, if we can pull back the layers and show them a process of how the sausage is made, I think that is it. One, I think it drops or opens some gates that are often shut of like, oh, well, you have to go to these institutions to learn how it's done. Or I think it's helpful to show that it is approachable. I mean, you can get involved and you can do these things. And one of the ways we're doing that is through, we will be doing a series of 10-minute play, showcases where we are building our own original in-house 10-minute play experiences, having people who are interested in writing work with people whose primary discipline, like myself, who is a playwright, who is a dramaturg. We have a couple others within our company as well who sort of lean towards the writing side of things and the dramaturgy. And we will be, as a company, as an ensemble, curating and developing original 10-minute plays that are rehearsed, fully sort of up on their feet, no script in front of the actors, and we'll throw that world, say, in a basement of a Golden Pony. Or perhaps we end up collaborating with the Harrisonburg Dance Co-op in their space, where we've talked about this recently. If we have, 5 10-minute plays, between each of those plays, you're also now seeing an entirely different discipline of art making, where dance, now you're now having dance numbers, intertwine their discipline, responding, almost a call and response. So you'll see a 10-minute play, and then you'll see an element or an interpretive dance or movement piece that is in some way responding to the 10-minute play you just saw. Michael said, I think aptly, almost like little mini interludes between each pieces. So, and this is something that we will be doing maybe every few months. There will be a new 10-minute play showcase or a 10-minute play happening where you'll get these little small bites, somewhere unconventional. And it's not supposed to sort of be this ultimate, polished rock. I think it's supposed to be a bit gritty. It's supposed to be a bit stripped down to the bare bones of what I think the playfulness and the creativity that I think theater lends itself so well to. So we'd be silly not to take advantage of how can we tell a story. Reese has a great if you want to call it an image. Yeah, an image is a great way to put it, where, the first kind of forms of theater, or so we think would have happened, is, you build this big fire, you gather around a fire and you tell a story. Yeah. And, if we can get some costumes or props or some set pieces, that's fine. But I think done so in a way that is the around this sort of fire, even if it's this metaphorical fire now of, kind of around among community members. That's one way that we will do these, I think, quick and nimble, or these ninja-esque happenings that just kind of unravel, while also planning and preparing these bigger productions that will find maybe a quote-unquote proper home.
Yeah.
You know.
I love that. I love that description of gathering around the fire.
Yeah, that was like really picturesque.
It feels like that's where it started, you know? Like, and then all the stand-up comics arrived.
That's right. Somebody had to keep people laughing. Yeah, right. Yeah. Comedy is in a boom right now. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah.
So
we all need a laugh at the minute.
We definitely need that. Speaking of which, that's memorable. But also, I can imagine you all have had memorable moments, even though you're a new young company. I mean, this is a remarkable gathering of people with a wide range of disciplines. So what kind of moments can you share really stand out so far?
My most memorable moment of this ensemble so far actually happened on the day of the very first meeting. So there'd been some rumble about getting together, and you know, emails had gone out and invites had gone out and a room was booked, and I arrived in the very room that we're sitting right now. There was me, my wife Sarah, and then Garrett arrived. And me and Garrett, this was a little bit cheeky of us, but while Sarah was laying out some chairs, we went for a sidebar conversation down the end of the corridor. She was in here on her own pretty much, you know, when we left to go and have this conversation. I feel like we were talking for about 10 minutes. And then when we came back to the room, there was like 20 people in the room.
Wow.
Like, that's ready great. To get to work. And that, you know, for me, like just walking in the room and going, oh, they came. Mm-hmm. Like everyone showed up. Like that's a good start.
That is a really great start.
So that was, I think that's my favorite memory of it already.
Would anybody else like to share?
Yeah, I'm kind of caught between, I guess, a couple of things. That first meeting and some of the exercises we did, I mean, we immediately seemed to like have the same language. A lot of us didn't know one another, but the language of theater, the language of creativity, and, you know, Reese fostering that and creating the kind of space for us to play together and drop everything else kind of out of that. And just be there for one another as people interested and committed or like learning about like what it would be to commit to this was something really special. And I haven't felt that way in like a group of strangers in a long time. And people I know, I mean, I'm so that was definitely for me one, but also to see also as we, you know, we did Galway and, other folks in the ensemble have current projects that they've been involved in around town. And there's been like this nice just stream of support of people going and showing up to support others in the projects they're doing, even if they're not connected to Unoya. So there's even that kind of momentum of just hearing about what each other's doing and supporting that work. Whether it's tied to Unoya or not is something that I feel is, I don't know, I haven't quite seen that really take hold like it is in the last, you know, since Unoya's formed really. So yeah, it's been nice.
Well, this is so exciting. And I think in the wrap up question, which is how best can the Laughers follow you on social media or otherwise, I would add to that if you can also include, if there are people out there that would be interested in getting involved with you all, what would be the best way to do that as well?
So Unoya does have a website, and it is Unoya, Unoia Theater, and that's .com. We do have Facebook, we have Instagram. And to reach out, we do have an email, and that's info@unoyatheater.com. So that would be a really great way to reach out to Reese and be able to talk with him about being a part of our ensemble. But we have often talked about that we do have a dotted line where folks are welcome to come in. But, you know, it's understanding that we are going towards a goal, that we are an ensemble, and that we're going to support each other. We're here for each other. That's the whole point. So, you know, we want that person, whoever would like to join, to have the same like-mindedness. Mm. The other thing is that in general for happenings in the Shenandoah Valley, we do have a Facebook group called Theater in the Shenandoah Valley, which anyone in the entire world is welcome to join this group on Facebook. And then Corey McDaniel and I are the admin for that Facebook group. We are currently working on a website as well, which will feature theater in the Shenandoah Valley. So it's not just Unoya Theater. It will be theater in the Shenandoah Valley, where we'll have Google Calendar, everything that's happening in the valley, Luray, Winchester, maybe Charlottesville, haven't decided. Anyways, but you know, we're even talking about featuring groups as well to say, here's a group, here's what they're about, learn more about them at this site. And that's what Unoya Theater is also about. We want to support other communities in the theater as well. So we want to be here and support them, and then we would love them to support us.
Thank you. And thank you so much, Michaela and Michael and Garrett and Reese and Amanda. Thank you all for coming on the show. It has been super fun chatting it up with all of you on all things Unoya Theater. I got it, right? Yeah, there we go. Thanks again to all of you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And thank you, laughers, for tuning in to today's episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast. If you enjoyed your time with us today, please do like, share, and subscribe. This is an exciting and fun and obviously imperfect podcast. We celebrate being more of a human being than a human doing. So that is what's happening here. Also, don't forget to snag that discount on your Preposterous popcorn. That's Laugh15. And you can visit preposterous.com. And that way, when you buy some, you can enjoy it when you join me on next week's episode. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us. And we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womacks and Friends. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to a FWAF show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to thefunnywomacks.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.